Welcome back to The Inspired Educator, empowering new teachers to thrive. I'm your host, Dr. Latoya Crockett, and I'm so excited to have you join us today. This podcast is all about supporting new and aspiring teachers as they navigate the joys and challenges of teaching. Whether you're a first-year teacher, a substitute teacher, or transitioning into education, we are here to uplift and support as you navigate your teaching journey. My guest today is Tangeray Porter, a creative strategist, arts educator, and founder of Cultivated Connections. She specializes in helping teachers design culturally responsive, arts-integrated learning experiences that engage students and support holistic development. Whether you're an arts enthusiast or someone who feels creatively challenged, this conversation will provide you with the tools you need to enrich your classroom. Tangeray, welcome to The Inspired Educator. We're so glad you're here.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Now that you're here.
I am excited. I have been like waiting on this because I love like talking to you, but I also love all things arts. So I'm so glad that you asked me to come on to, share some love and creativity.
Yes, we all need a little extra love and creativity right now.
Yes.
You know, I am one of the first things I always tell the teachers that I work with is that you need to use the curriculum that you've been given, right? Like, don't add extra work to your plate your first few years in teaching. Get to know education, get to know your kids, your classroom, and really develop who you are as a teacher. So kind of take the easy way out. Use the scripted curriculum. Mm-hmm. With that being said, sometimes the scripted curriculum misses the mark and it can be boring. And so what I wanted to do was to offer new educators some alternatives, right? If you are one of those teachers, you learn quickly, you have got the curriculum down, and you're ready to spice it up a notch, right?
Yes.
How can you do that?
Yes.
So before we jump into all those amazing strategies, can you tell our listeners a little bit about you, your journey in education, and what inspired you to start Cultivated Connections?
Yes. So, y'all, this is one of my favorite stories to tell because it's super crazy. So my journey in education is so unorthodox. What, girl? So who are we to start with my education as far as like, you know, how did I even get into the teaching field? I have my bachelor's of professional studies in dance education. So I am a certified dance educator here in Tennessee, as well as a certified reading specialist, K-12. Y'all like, girl, what happened? Houseway, how did that happen? I'm gonna tell you. Graduated dance ed. Didn't really know what I wanted to do with that. Had an inkling, but didn't know what I wanted to do, but didn't know how to do it, rather. I knew that I always wanted to teach in a public school setting, specifically Title I, like children that look like me. And I wanted to teach dance or the arts or something like that, because that wasn't my story. Other than a music class and one or two art classes in elementary school, that was it. However, I love to dance. Even as a child, girl, I love to dance. And there was no opportunities like that in my neighborhood, at my school, things like that. So I knew that, you know, once I discovered dance, it was a whole degree that I wanted to do that. And it was specifically inspired from my vocal music teacher in ninth grade. You always got that one. My vocal music teacher in ninth grade was the one who inspired me to do this work with the arts, because he used to use music as a way to teach us about Black history. I wrote my first research paper in his class in ninth grade about Stevie Wonder. Had to do all the criteria of writing, but it was about a Black artist and all these other things. Like, I could talk about Mr. Dotson all day long because he's the reason why I do what I do and how I do it. So had to get you the inspiration, but it started there. It started, you know, graduating from University of Memphis, Go Tigers, and I worked at this health center for a while, which was also very creative and very fun and just beautiful, and was also offered a teaching job back home in Memphis at a Title I middle school. I didn't know what the world I was doing. First year teacher, didn't know what I was doing, didn't understand classroom management. I just knew I was going to teach children something about dance and Black history, because those two things were my things. I knew that I didn't care if they ever learned dance a day in their life, or, you know, ever dance a day in their life after their time with me, that they were going to be able to have some decent and beautiful conversations about the arts. Like, that was so important to me. So did that for a year back home. And then we moved to Nashville. My husband and I moved to Nashville, got married, moved here. It was like, okay, what to do next? Because Nashville is Music City, baby. There literally was no dance teaching jobs here, which I wish I would have thought about before, you know, getting that whole degree in it. It's like, oh yeah, this is not New York, boo. This is not New York. Those opportunities are not the same. And I'm sharing this. I'm sharing all the details because it's the reason why Cultivated is here. I'm gonna try to make the long story short. But anyway, I got to Nashville, you know, did some interviews. A couple were for dance, but they were not hitting. One was like not doing it for me. The energy, the culture in the school, you could feel it as you walk in the door. I was like, no, this is not my place. And the other ended up being a charter school. However, the charter school elementary position, dance position, wasn't going to be available till the next year when they founded the school. So I was like, okay, yes, I would love to do that. But what do we do in the meantime? And they were looking for a social studies and science teacher, sixth grade. And I'm like, I need a job. I'm a teacher at heart. If you give me the curriculum, I'm going to teach it. I'm a teacher. Like, that is my purpose in the world. I already know that. I know that's why God put me on this earth. I just need the content and the tricks and tips that you can teach me how to be successful in this particular content. So I ended up teaching sixth grade science and social studies for a year and a half and loved it. One, because yes, we had scripted lessons, but it wasn't so tight to where I couldn't put me in it. And me, I was the arts, right? And I'll share more about the strategies that I use to teach my loves, my young loves, about, you know, Alexander the Great, but through arts, about Buddha, but through the arts, about the moon phases, but through movement, right? So, because that's who I am and that's the thick of me, like that's me. I exude creativity. And I wanted the kids to experience that in that way because I knew no other way to teach it. I was using Pinterest to help me, you know, figure out what the freaking moon phases were, right? At this point, I had been in middle school, loved middle school, but what does elementary look like? And also by this time, I had started my journey of receiving my master's in reading as a reading specialist, which was inspired by one of my sixth graders who could not read. And I'm like, how in the world did you make it to sixth grade and you can't read a lick? I don't know how to help you. I don't know. So Baby K, I'm gonna call him Baby K, was the reason why I ended up getting my reading specialist license and really learning what it means to know how to read, learn how to read, teach students how to read, because I didn't want any other child to make it to sixth grade and not know how to read. But what also supported this baby was the arts. The activities that I was doing inspired him so much that he actually rose his hand and was like, Miss Porter, can I read? And I'm like, yes, honey, yes. One of my favorite stories to tell, but we can share that another day. But after that, after leaving that school, I ended up teaching at an elementary school that I am currently transitioning out of this year just because I want to, you know, go full things arts consulting. But it's been such a pleasure of being at this space for 9 years. Taught kindergarten and I got to use my skills, right? The creativity, but also teaching students how to read, and fell in love with it. Oh my gosh, that's the only thing I would teach that's not dance is kindergarten, because you can be a whole performer and character with K babies. Like, I'll name it, I'll stamp it. You got to be a crazy person to teach kindergarten. I'm that crazy person. Okay. So did that, taught kindergarten for 2 years and ended up teaching, going back to teach dance, but also leveraging my reading specialist degree. So I teach or have taught dance as well as reading interventions, and to the point where I became the intervention coordinator and all of that. And most of my interventions are dealing with arts integration or using the arts as an intervention, which is super fun. And I'm so thankful for the principal for trusting me and believing in me to just like, hey girl, I don't care what you do, be here and do it here. And it's been such a beautiful journey to the point where my dance class is very, very heavily literacy rich. I have a very literacy rich dance class. We are learning words. We're spelling words. We are reading articles, reading books. The books are inspiring our creative journeys. That's the journey, the educational journey. But what prompted me to start Cultivated Connections was my experience as an arts educator. Prior to going down the rabbit hole of gen ed, I didn't receive any training of just how to be a teacher. Forget teaching dance. I don't care if you ever do a high kick a day in your life as a dance educator or draw a picture as a visual artist. We do not learn how to be teachers, but are expected to have the same, produce the same outcome as the gen ed teachers. But you're not giving me training on what is routines, procedures. You're not giving me any training on how to write curriculum. You're not giving me any training on the expectations you're asking me to do, which is to embed literacy in my classroom, but you're not telling me how to do it, right? Because everybody doesn't come into the building with that same passion like I had. I knew I wanted to do that. So I was deep into the research of like, what does it mean to, you know, integrate the arts? I came into my journey like that because that was something I was passionate about personally from my educational experience as a kid. But most people don't do that. And that's the arts educator side. For the gen ed teacher side, I also want to provide these beautiful and amazing strategies for the, you know, the gen ed teachers, just because I did it. And it was so fun. And I saw, not just that it was fun, but I saw the change that it made in my students, specifically Baby K, even though he was sixth grader, we're going to call him Baby K. I saw the magic. I saw how, woo-wee, like, I get so emotional when I think about it, but how confident he felt by the end of that lesson, even though he was struggling to read that passage that he asked me to read. Girl. We're going to get off Baby K because I'm going to get really emotional because that's my baby, honey. He's thriving now. Yeah. So I hope that answered the question of the journey of me and Cultivated Connections.
It did. And I loved every second of it because you can feel your passion. You can hear your passion for educating children and now educating adults. Adults need to know, how do I integrate the arts into everything that I do, because it is doable and it's not one more thing that you add to your plate, and it produces the results, not only that you want to see in your kids, but that your building leaders would like to see, or district leaders would like to see. This is why I knew we had to get together.
Yes.
We have to share this knowledge with others because it's not as hard as what they make it out to be. And I really think if we can help those first-year teachers, and we get to them now so that it becomes a habit, it's not going to be difficult, and it's not going to be one program that you drop later on because you are so overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Really thinking about those new teachers, right? So this question is specifically for them. They are already overwhelmed. They are already stressed out. I want to make this as simple as I can for them. Can we start by first defining what is arts integration? What do we mean by that phrase?
Yes, it's basically using a art form, whether it's music, theater, dance, media arts, literature. It's using a art form to drive the lesson. That's it. However, I do want to name, a lot of people get arts enhanced lessons and arts integration mixed up. And I'll name that for you. Arts enhanced is using a art-like activity to hook the lesson. It's the hooker. Arts integration is using that art form to teach the whole lesson, to teach the content.
I love that you just named that for teachers, because I think arts enhanced is what we typically see. And so you get a lot of pushback with, oh, well, I do that already. An art project is not the same thing as integrating the arts into your classroom.
Yes.
You do not have to be a performer in order to integrate the arts into the classroom, because I will be honest and very transparent. When I first heard arts integration, that's what I thought it was. Like, I'm not singing, I'm not dancing, and I am not an artist. So this is not going to be for me. And then I actually did my research and I got to partner with an organization here in St. Louis. And I said, oh no, we're doing this.
Yes.
We're doing this and it's needed.
And it's so natural too, because we naturally, as teachers, we're naturally creative anyway. We do it automatically. And of course, it comes off more of on the arts enhanced side. But once you learn those arts integrative strategies, it's like, oh, this is easy. You're really, like, just to go back to the question, you're really just using the arts technique to teach the lesson. I can't wait to talk about strategies because I got three that I absolutely love that are my go-to staples. in any grade level, in any content area. I use it in my dance class.
We're not waiting. Let's jump right into it. What are those three strategies that you have for new teachers for them to integrate the arts into their classroom?
Yes. So the first one, this one is one of the easiest ones because you already do it in guided reading. And I love y'all. This is why I had to share my story because I know what I'm talking about. I know about guided reading. Okay. I know a little bit about phonics. I know what I'm talking about. One of the first one is visual-based thinking strategies. One of my favorite ones. I do it, like I mentioned, I do this one even in my dance class. And I've done it when teaching reading and I've done it with baby K. Yeah. So what it looks like is, well, so many different ways. But basically what it looks like is you grab a bunch of different pictures that are related to your content, your topic, right? I'll share the baby K story because that was actual like gen ed content, right? And then I'll share a dance activity that I do every year for Native American History Month. So the baby K story is surrounded around this visual based thinking strategy that I used as we were learning about Siddhartha Gautama, which is Buddha, because I was teaching ancient civilizations, right? I knew nothing about this man to that extent, other than what I've heard, you know, in my religion classes, right? And so I personally did not understand, how do I teach these sixth graders about this being who feels very mythical? And of course, I had to read the story, his story. And I was like, well, the only way I can think about how to teach this is to share pictures. So I shared about six different pictures. And of course, this was the hook, but I shared about three different pictures with them. One was a homeless man on the street, just pictures off of Google. One was a homeless man off the street. Another one was a painting of a depiction of Buddha sitting in front of the tree because he's known as the enlightened one. I think another one was like a party or something. I can't remember the exact pictures because that was so long ago, but a bunch of pictures that went to his story that the children were actually going to read next. So we analyzed the pictures of like, what do you see? What do you think? What do you wonder? I see da 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 da. So they had to cite evidence. I see this, this, this in the picture. Okay. Well, what do you think this picture is telling us? They had to explain that. What do you wonder? I wonder why this man is homeless on the street. I wonder what the connection between Buddha and this man. So they were able to think about these amazing questions. Y'all, we do that in guided reading. We always tell the children, preview the text. If y'all literally are doing the strategy already, it just didn't have a name for you, right? Or it's not as emphasized like you would with six different pictures about Buddha, right? Or related to Buddha. Basically, what you're sharing with children is like, think like you're at a museum. We're analyzing pictures, right? So we did that, looked at the pictures, all of that. And then I had a text written out for them with stop and jot questions that literally aligned to the different pictures. That's where baby K was like, I want to read. After like the third paragraph, I want to read. And it was just like, oh, my heart. So after we did that, we actually went back to the pictures. Then we looked at the pictures, analyzed them at first. We read the story, answered our questions, had a little bit of discussion about it. And then we went back to the pictures. Now that we've read the story of his life, what do you think about these pictures now? They got everything correct. That's the simplest strategy that you can implement daily. So that's one, visual-based thinking strategies. That's one of my favorite ones. And how I did it in dance, of course, because we're supposed to be moving our bodies. For Native American History Month, and if there's any arts people on here, do that, especially when we're talking about culture. And you can do this in your regular social studies class or any class, right? I'm a firm believer of letting the experts teach, especially if it's a culture that is not of mine. So during Native American History Month, I'm very particular about what I share with the students. I want to ensure that they are calling the regalia what it is. Regalia is not a costume. So that is very important to me, of being like culturally appropriate in naming things. And so similar thing, we do a gallery walk though, because I don't have any dance in my classroom. So we do a gallery walk. However, I have different pictures of each dance style, Native American dance style. So fancy dance, grass dance, all those different things. And they have to tell them same thing. See, think, wonder. I see that this person has on eagle feathers on the back of their, you know, headdress. I see, you know, all the different things. I wonder, why are they wearing this? I wonder, what dance style are they doing? So we go around, small groups go around and look at all the different pictures and discussions. Like, they have to fill out a little form and all of that. So there's their writing. Hey, a little collaboration, a little group work. And then after that, once they get back to their original spot, they take the clipboard off the wall, because it's so much easier to put it like that. And they have to flip it over. And there's a reading passage about that dance style. And they are basically having a discussion with their partner of, did we answer our questions correctly? Were we right about why they have eagle feathers on their headdress? Why they have bells on this jingle dress? All these different things. They learn the name of it, because none of that is revealed at first. It's just a picture. So visual-based thinking strategies, baby, it's the best one. It's the most fun one. Well, I'm not going to say that. It's one of my favorite, because all of them are fun, right? It gets students locked in so deeply to the point where they're excited to read, because now they're curious, right? So that one, Reader's Theater, told you I'm a literacy girl. Reader's Theater, oh my gosh, so much fun. You can find so many things on YouTube about it. Basically, you're taking the content and you're making it into a script. That's it. So basic. Taking the content, making it into a script, and having the students use gestures as they're explaining, you know, or reciting their words, their lines. You can do it where students each have a part, or a group of students have a part. And because they're constantly practicing this script, right, they are actually learning, because we know repetition is what helps us learn. And they're adding movements to, you know, I'm thinking about the water cycle one. We've done that in my dance class, and I've also done it in social studies. I mean, science class, of students are practicing condensation, precipitation, like creating like a whole dance that I didn't even ask for. They're just naturally doing it. So Reader's Theaters are easy. Even with your tiny, tiny people, as a former kindergarten teacher, I've done Reader's Theaters with them, but they were heavily with sight words. And yes, you got to act out the dog. I see the dog. That's another one that's really easy. Tableau, which in French means frozen picture, which is another favorite. And you can do so many different things with this one. It's basically, you have to set it up right. So this one, I'm going to say it's more intermediate, but anybody can do it once you learn the steps. And again, there's so much information on the internet about tableaus, which is spelled T-A-B-L-E-U-X. Or you can type in frozen picture, drama strategy, or something like that. You can find so many things. I think there's a whole article about it on, what's that, Reading Rockets? I think that's the website, Reading Rockets website. Yeah. I think there's a whole like article about it. But yeah, so give the students a prompt once you've given them the procedures or whatever of how you want them to do that. Give the students a prompt and give them literally like 3 minutes to create it. They got to do the creation phase. So they're going to have to talk, people. They're going to have to get up and move their bodies. It's a movement activity. And, you know, they create the whatever it is that you want them to create. And I'll give you an actual example in a minute. And then you can have them add words to the situation of like, hey, we're going to, well, let me run it back. Let me give you an actual example. So one example I've done with my kindergartners, especially because they're learning about beginning sounds, is here's your prompt. I want you to create a tableau that is something that represents the letter B, or starts with the letter B. And then you have bears and butterflies and all of them. And you can literally be like, it doesn't have to be a real thing. Just to create that imaginative experience. One that I did with the older kids, because they were talking about energy, and which I'm so thankful I had a chance to teach science, right? So it wasn't foreign. So I was like, I need you all to create a tableau of something that uses thermal energy. And they were like, oh my gosh, thermal energy. So you have to now know, what is thermal energy? Heat. What uses heat? And that now they're using that science vocabulary and all of that. Girl, I can go on all day about these arts integrated strategies, because it's fun. It's so much fun. It's just as fun to the teacher as it is to the students.
Exactly. As a kindergarten teacher myself, everything that you just said, you can do in the classroom, and it hits all of those standards that your district leaders are wanting you to do. I have been over here taking notes like you wouldn't believe. So one of the connections that I just made, especially for lower elementary, and I actually think K through 12, but specifically for lower elementary, we always struggle with time, and we always have an excuse why we can't do certain things, right? So one of the things that I'm hearing is that when you integrate the arts, it is your brain break. Because you are getting the kids up, your kids are moving, they are not sitting for way too long. You're breaking up that learning block so that you don't have to add in a brain break into your schedule. It is already built in. Yep. Thinking about with the example you just gave about letter sounds, like pure genius, and we're doing that. Love that so much.
I'll send you your lesson plan. I got you.
Thank you. Thank you. Because we do like a letter of the week. Like we will go through all the letters at the beginning of the year, but then we are still slowing it down. And I love that you said B because the B and D reversal is so real. And so
B, anything, D, P, Q.
Yes. B and D, P and Q. Anything that you can do to help them get over that hump is going to be beneficial. So the fact that you're using the letter B and then you're having the kids have to stop and think for a minute. What can I come up with that has the book sound at the beginning? Mm-hmm. And then you get to bring in their creativity because you said it doesn't even have to be a real thing. You can make it up if you want to. We are focused on the letter sound right now. So even if your nonsense word, I don't care. I just needed to have the book at the beginning. And now you get to add in whatever visual you chose to come up with. And then you get to share it, right? Because too often kids don't get to share their creative thinking. We don't have enough time. We didn't get to share time today. So take it home and share it with your family. But we get to hit all the things by integrating the arts. And then it got me to thinking about how hard it is for kindergartners to write. I'm giving you all these different pathways. And by the time we are done, you have now been able to think about it. I gave you a way to express your thinking. And now it's time to get your thinking onto paper.
Girl, I'm so thankful for the detour that I had in my career. Because had I not had those detours in my career, all of this, I don't think will be as special. Right? Because I had the chance to understand what does it mean. And I'm saying this out loud because new teachers, you will have detours. And what you do with that is going to speak to your level of grit, your level of grind, your level of passion. It's either going to make you or break you. And I decided to let my detours make me. And now I have a whole company centered around my journey or and lack of things that I didn't have or things that I had to create, right? But I said that to say, had I not had the chance to experience students like Baby K or experience teaching kindergarten, I never would have truly understand the impact of the arts and arts integration. As an artist myself, I get it and I understand it, right? I understand the surface level of it, that arts changes everything. Art speaks to the whole person, the mind, body, spirit, the brain, all of that. I get that. But stepping outside of that circle, outside of that box makes it even more special. Cause I have like real life examples. I'm not using theory. Like, no.
Yes. Yeah.
I can name each student that an arts integration strategy unlocked something for them. Literally, I got pictures to prove it. So I love that detour. And it's not to shade any other arts consultants that are out here doing this amazing work. But most arts consultants that are sharing arts integration strategies have only been on one side, which have been just the arts. And that's so beautiful. And I'm so thankful that they're sharing their gift. But I wonder what impact increase could happen if they just step foot outside of their arts world into the academic world so that they can truly make impact and not just using like theory, right?
Yeah, because you also have classroom management that goes into it. Because if you just picture the strategy you just gave us for a kindergarten classroom, I am blessed, beyond blessed, to only have 18 children in my classroom this year. So with my 18, 5 and 6 year old children, I would then be responsible for teaching them how to control their body, because this is not a get up and run around this classroom kind of a situation. It is not a, let me back up. It is a structured process.
Yes.
Because yes, I want you to get your creativity out. I want you to use your voice in this space. I want you to love coming into this classroom. And in order to accomplish those goals, to meet those standards, and to make sure that we are moving you, I have to have structure in place. And you have to teach that along with your arts integration.
Yes.
You do need somebody who's on the education side, who has not only, like you just said, have the theory and done the research behind it, but you also have to have the experience. Because when you step into a charter school, with 20 to 25 children, your theory is not enough.
No.
You need both.
I said 34, so kindergarten.
You need both. It is a whole different world. It is a whole different world. Yes. Very near and dear to my heart, which is why I stay in kindergarten. But I have to admit, it's a whole different world. It is not for the faint of heart.
No, you got to want to do it. You have to want to be a teacher. You have to be able to tap in. And I'm speaking to the new educators here. But you have to be able to tap into a part of yourself that you didn't know existed. And I don't even know how to explain that, because it's bigger than you. It's not about you. I feel, and this probably is taking us off course, but I feel like education, providing education, is literally the difference between life and death, especially for our Black and brown babies. Either we're giving them a lifeline, and I'm not speaking from a savior complex. Like, no, we're not saving children. We're supporting children. So either we're going to provide them this life raft, or we're not. And if you're not, don't do the work. Don't do this. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your admin's time. Don't waste the kids' time. If you're not passionate enough to go hard when the days get rough, don't do this work, because there are going to be some rough days and there are going to be some beautiful days. But if you can't do this work, if you're not emotionally, mentally stable, and I'm naming that to do this work, don't do it, because it's not about you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's exactly why we just wrapped up a mini series on holistic wellness, mental wellness for educators, because it starts with you, and you have to identify it first, and you have to have those strategies in place, because those hard days come out of nowhere. Once you have your own coping techniques in place, not only can you then make sure that you are well and that you get through each day, but then you can start to help your kids. Because especially, again, for those kindergartners, those first graders, that's what we're teaching them. We're introducing those coping mechanisms to them. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have them in our toolbox before we are able to help our kids.
Yes.
I completely agree with you there. I do. I'm going to make one quick caveat. Not caveat. I'm going to pivot just a notch. Because one of the other things that I want to connect for our listeners is that these strategies that you have just named are so quick. And I'm not going to say they're simple, because I think they're simple to those who have done it. It may be difficult at the beginning, but it is well worth the research and the work. It can be used in summer school. And I bring that up to say, I am an educator who does summer school. And for those of us who choose to do summer school, we have a short window to make connections with children. Because even though you're doing summer school, you still need to build relationships and you still need to make connections. And one of the ways that we do that is by making learning fun. Mm-hmm. We do that by integrating the arts, because you can quickly do tableaus with students while you are reviewing the content. And it's even better because it's a review. They've been exposed to the content already. The tableau itself is what's new. So now you really get to have fun with it. So these strategies are perfect for any teacher like myself who is doing summer school.
Yes. Use these strategies as we can use it as a form of like teaching the content, but you use them as a form of assessment too. And that's one thing that I love like about arts integration, is just this act of, you can use it however you want to. You can use it as a hook. You can use it as the actual lesson. You can use it as an assessment. You can use it for your portfolios if people are still doing that. Girl, it's so many.
You can use it for so much. For so many things.
Brain rake. Funny.
I love it.
Recess.
Love it. Yes. Yes. Because, you know, the winter is hard with those indoor recesses.
Amen.
So we have actually named this, but one of the things that I really love to do for new teachers is to be very clear and very specific. So I want us to go back and just very clearly name this. How does integrating the arts support student engagement and learning outcomes specifically for our diverse learners?
Yes. Ooh-wee. Oh, let's take a deep breath on that one, because again, it brings me back to Baby K, who was a special education student with a specific learning disability. I think about him. I think about my English language learners who I even had the pleasure, some of my scholars that I had the pleasure to work with this past, 3 months, because their original EL teacher had been on maternity leave. And granted, they're my students anyway, because I see them during dance. I taught them reading, but to work with them in this other capacity that I had never worked with them before was super fun. because they were already familiar with the arts integrated techniques that we were doing from dance class, right? So I think about them. Yeah. Woo-wee. So many different strategies, so many things. Every child can engage in the lesson, whether they know how to read or are struggling readers. You don't have to have those things. You don't have to have those things to do reader's theater. Why? Because, and again, I'm thinking about Baby K. Why? Because you can partner the student with a scholar that knows how to read and read well. So you got to know your students. You have to build those relationships, right? And that student who is the better reader can support them in learning the script, if you will. And of course, they're constantly repeating it over and over. So now it's in the struggling scholar's body at this point. And I'm naming that because most of the time, if a student is struggling to read, it doesn't mean they can't learn. They found a different way to learn the information. They may have one of the world's best memories. I think about another student who, I'm not going to share his health journey, but he does have some issues with the brain, right? He struggled to read because his brain is literally restarting every day. But the way he can remember things, like his short-term memory was a little, you know, struggled with short-term, but his long-term, so of course repetition was needed, right? And the way he could, the strategies that he created to help him cope with taking in information was so beautiful. So when we would do these arts integrated strategies, it helped him to remember faster. It helped him to lock in the information better. So I just had to name those two students. It literally touches every child, the EL scholars, because it's giving them more access to words and meaning. Oh my goodness, that right there. You mentioned the learning outcomes. It makes me think of something that I did a PD, an arts integrated PD at the beginning of my career. And the one thing I took from that 2-week long PD was the fact that you want the scholars to show the standard, show the outcome, show the objective. That's it. And if I had to go back to the arts, what is arts integration definition? I would say, how do you want the scholars to show the content? Literally show, H-O-W, right? And I didn't think about that then, but yes, that just came up. How do you want scholars to show the learning outcome? And if there's a scholar with a disability, how do you want that scholar to show that outcome? If there is an EL scholar who is struggling to speak the native language, the English, how do you want that scholar to show the outcome, which literally just happened last week? My little baby G, literally just happened last week. Like, whoa, I didn't even know you knew that what that word meant. And he was struggling to share his thinking, but he was able to show with movement, like to kind of get his point across. It was so beautiful and so crazy at the same time. I was like, wait, I didn't even know it. Whoa, how did you know? But he had to show me with his body first. And then we kind of had this beautiful conversation.
I love those examples. The arts integration is the ability to show. A part of arts integration is the ability to show the learning outcome. Mm-hmm. If you don't take anything else with you today, take that.
Please.
Take that with you.
Project. That could be a dance. That could be a poem. We already do this, y'all.
What advice would you give to teachers who feel like they lack artistic skills, but they would like to try and include arts integration?
I would say start with what's comfortable for you. And I'm naming that because as a dance educator, movement is what comes to me naturally. So I always start there. I think about a particular former colleague who wasn't necessarily an artist, but she loved to doodle. We all have some kind of artistic capabilities, but she loved to doodle or whatever. So she helped students or would push students to, as they're writing their notes, make a little doodle. She used the Frayer model, and she will start with the picture part of the Frayer model first, because that was her love, right? As a little doodler. So it's so easy. But also get to know you. Before you even do any arts integration work, get to know you and think about how have you been creative, whether that is writing poetry, whether that is doodling like that teacher, whether that is just moving your body. Nobody said you had to go out here and do ballet. If you just like to dance, okay. I don't know if y'all have seen on, I think it's been TikTok, a man or woman did a whole like, I think the alphabet thing on Boots to the Ground, Boots on the Ground song. That's arts integration. You're using the movement, the dance, the song to drive the content. Y'all are already doing this work. So if you don't feel like you have the artistic capability, first get to know you and what it is that brings creativity out of you and explore that first, just on your own, to cultivate this creative space for you. And it also leads to your own better wellness. Like, if you know, we want to touch on that, it does. It fills your cup. Now you can bring those little things like, okay, I know I love to go to the museum. Use visual-based thinking strategy. If you are a museum girly, love to look at pictures, scrolling on Instagram, because that's how I feel like Instagram is a museum. Visual-based thinking strategies might be your thing. So I would say definitely that. Do what's comfortable for you. Research the strategies. There are so many tools out there that you can use. YouTube being one of them. Pinterest. At this point, you probably can look on TikTok to see arts integration strategies. There's so many books on Amazon. Even as an arts specialist myself, I have a ton of books because I don't know all the art strategies. I don't know them all, especially those that actually, before I really got into it, that actually spoke to literacy. I knew Reader's Theater, I knew visual-based thinking strategies, but there are so many other ones. One is particular, it's called, I gotta think of the name of it. Hot Mic. I think it's Hot Mic. But anyway, I'll share Hot Seat, not Hot Mic, Hot Seat. And you can use this one with your kindergartners. So this for everybody. This is the easy peasy one. So basically, you all read the book, whatever storybook that you're reading. Let's think about Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You use whatever story that you're reading, and you basically bring the main character or whatever character you want to the hot seat. And you interview them. Yes, you interview Goldilocks, one of the students, especially the student that is struggling with character analysis, character motivation, character traits, all those different things. Put Goldilocks, which is really Ashley, that sit at seat number two in your class. Put her in the hot seat and ask her questions as if you were the interviewer interviewing Goldilocks. Okay, Goldilocks, I noticed that you went into the bear's house. What were you thinking? Now you're talking about character mental state. Why did you decide to lay in all the beds? Now you're talking about character motivation, right? So that's one of my other favorites when I'm teaching reading is the hot seat one. Because baby, it's a whole situation. It's a whole situation. I can't think of the name of the other strategy, but it's basically as if you are curating a museum. So you can have all the little artifacts on the wall, this, that, and the other. If you wanted to, this works well for history or anything related to social studies. And you can create this world and you basically go back in time. So great for history, but be mindful. And I have to name this. Be mindful about which topics you do this with. Yeah. So that, you know, you're covering your bases and you're also not being disrespectful to the children that you serve. But you create this beautiful imaginative scenery where we're all going back in time, be a museum. So, yeah, that was a couple of different ones. So you don't necessarily have to be an artist.
Exactly. You do not have to be an artist in order to integrate the arts into your classroom. There are so many tools and resources that are already out there for you, including Tangeray, that can help you to do this. One, I think it helps make you a better teacher, just being very transparent. And two, I think it also provides your students with exposure that they may not otherwise receive. I think we make a lot of assumptions about what our children do outside of the school building, and those are just assumptions. Mm-hmm. We can't assume that all children have exposure and have access to the arts. So if we can provide it naturally into our classrooms while meeting all of our objectives that we have to meet, I think it makes our students well-rounded individuals.
Agree. And there's so much research and data out there of how the arts, even if you're not doing arts integration strategies in your classroom, just how the experience with the arts supports learning, the brain, development, all that jazz, right? That's a whole nother tangent I'll save y'all for. Just follow my page and it's up there.
So how, and again, this is going to be one of those questions I really think we've already touched on, but I want to make it as simple and plain as possible. How can arts integration promote cultural responsiveness and inclusivity in the classroom? You just discussed this with one of your examples, but let's make it plain for all of our listeners.
Oh my goodness. Inclusivity. Definitely everybody can do it. If you're talking about differentiated instruction, it happens right there. It's accessible to every student. Again, I'm thinking about the hot seat. strategy where you may have this student who is struggling to comprehend. I'm thinking of so many of my own students struggling with reading comprehension situations. Okay, they're not getting it in the book. They're not getting it just from reading and citing evidence, right? That they have to embody that thing. They have to embody it. And because you have chosen this particular scholar to be Goldilocks or Papa Bear or whatever, they now can put themselves in this mindset of like, well, if I was Papa Bear, how would I feel? Which is your character feelings and all that jazz. So it definitely that it allows students, I think about the whole cultural responsive thing. It allows you to speak to the student where they are.
Yes.
Without the bias that, oh my gosh, because such and such has a learning disability or because such and such parents, because that sometimes clogs your judgment for people who have not done that work on themselves. Such and such can't learn. Such and such is late every day. Such and such is bad. And I do not believe people should call children bad because they're not. You just haven't figured out how a way to tap into that child. It eliminates all of those biases that we have, explicit and implicit bias. It erases all of that because everybody can do it. The learning is here. The joy is here. Like, arts is universal. Everybody across the land of the living does some type of art form. It's a language. So,
trust me. It is its own language. Yes, it is. It is its own language. Oh, I love that. What role do you think collaborations with art specialists or community artists play in bringing in arts integration into the classroom?
I think, oh my goodness, that's the one thing that is not taken advantage of. That's such a, is there so much of a separation between, depending on the school, the principals, things like that. So this is case by case, right? Where everything is so departmentalized. Fine arts, stay over here. Gen ed, stay over here. Sped, stay over here. If we were to collaborate something serious, children would thrive. And like, I know my situation was very special case just because I'm still currently at the school that I taught kindergarten at. So that naturally happens, but that's not everybody's story. I think about I had the pleasure during my first year teaching as a dance educator and nothing else to go inside of the rooms of the gen ed rooms and do that partnership with the gen ed teachers at that time. How beautiful the learning experience would have been for the students. How testing season is stressful, no matter where you are, what grade, whatever. It's stressful. But I think about how my colleagues who were doing test prep, how the stress would have went out just a little bit, because it wasn't just solely on them to teach, or they would have learned and participated in with different strategies that could help support closing that gap as we're doing spiral reviews, right? So I think about like one situation where the students were really struggling with categorizing carnivores, herbivores, omnivores. Like they were really struggling with that. And I also didn't have the confidence at the time to be like, yo, let me hop in here. I can't teach it this way, but I can teach it this way. Like, let's be the Lion King at this point. Let's watch the Lion King, because that's the whole food chain right there. And if I had that confidence to say that to her and support, right? And the structure of collaboration prior to being all my dance classes being canceled and me being pushed into a sixth grade social science room, it would have hit different. So I think if you are an administrator who's here and listening, cultivate collaboration during your PD this summer. I need you to go ahead and do that with your art specialists and your gen ed teachers, because not only is it going to help the gen ed teachers, it's also going to help support your arts teachers, because you as the admin are probably asking your arts teachers to infuse more cross-curricular opportunities, but you have not provided the support to do that. And one way to provide the support without paying for an additional PD or you doing the PD yourself as the admin, because you probably don't know yourself. I'm just going to name it. Make that collaboration happen between gen ed and arts. And baby, watch the babies thrive and throw your special education teachers in there. Kids gonna thrive.
Not only are you integrating or bringing in and collaborating with your art teachers, you're thinking about special education. You are thinking about our district leaders. You're thinking about our building leaders. Like, it really takes a village in order to uplift and support our children. All of the weight should not fall on that one classroom teacher. So let's bring everybody in so all of our children across the board can thrive. Mm-hmm. Yep. With the core of it being the arts.
Yes.
One of the things that so many districts are quick to take away. Anytime we either have budget cuts or we don't have time in the schedule or maybe we can't find a teacher, those are the things that are being pulled first.
Yes. And those are the things that are most needed. Like, yes, we need math, science, social, we need all of that. But we also need the fine arts specialists or community artists. Like, you can't hire a full-time teacher, do a residency for 2 weeks. And that's providing them an experience, right? But I'm thinking about that because I know when COVID hit and, of course, the world shut down, the arts specialists, we felt it very deeply because, of course, our classes were cut virtually. But we were also the most sought after of like, now we got to think about SEL and creativity and social skills when the arts, and not just the arts, like sports, too, provide those things naturally. We provide social experiences. We provide creative experiences. We talk to like holistic situations and we're always the first to go. So that also goes in that collaboration of if we did better with collaborating between the two departments within the building, of course, it'll support the students, but how much more of a benefit would it be to have my gen ed colleagues on my side to help fight for my job and fight for the value that I bring to not just these students, but them as well as my colleague, my partner in this work. So yeah, girl, that's a whole tangent right there because there's so many things that's happening. Not to make this political, in the admin that just recently happened to the arts. The National Endowment of the Arts just recently was like disbanded.
Exactly.
And so people are losing grant funding for these experiences for your students. So yeah, it's sad and very heartbreaking. So fight for us, please.
Yes. Yes. Like I'm thinking now about collaborations that we could do because COVID, as you just said, almost shut down our society. And I would say for a time, it did shut us completely down. We had to pivot very quickly. One of the things that I've learned from that experience is that technology can be a force of good and it can be a force of evil.
Yes.
And so as an educator, you have to use technology and focus on how it can be used for the enrichment of our children. And one of the ways that it does that is by connecting us to people who are not right here in our local system. As I think about things that I could do next year for my children, if I need you to come into my classroom, it's not like, oh, how am I going to get her from Tennessee to here in Missouri? Mm-mm. Zoom is a real thing.
It is.
We can practice. We can learn tableaus through Zoom. In my particular district, we are very Apple heavy is what I'm going to say. And at first I was like, I don't need all of this. I don't need a laptop and an iPad and Apple TV and let's take advantage of the space that you are currently working in. And we're going to learn from these systems because we can use all of this to enrich the learning of my children and bring the arts into the classroom.
Yes, yes. And that's why I mentioned when I was saying let the expert be the expert. There's so much YouTube content where there are community artists doing the things, posting the things, like the Native American lesson that I shared with you all. I don't know personally any people that are of the Native American culture that are living it out loud in that way as far as the arts go, right? Now, that's something that I'm pushing myself to do is connect with more community organizations here in Tennessee. Because there are some that I was unaware of until maybe a couple years ago. But what I do every year when I'm teaching this lesson is that the Kennedy Arts Center, so that's a website that everybody needs to learn, did a campaign years ago with it's the Native Tribe, but it's a dance company, a Native American dance company. And it's a father and son duo. And they share the background of why Native Americans do these particular dances. They show different versions of the dance. They are interviewing them. And I literally show that every year because I'm not the expert. I don't know all the things other than like about the regalia. I know about the regalia. I can tell you about that, but I don't know what each step means. So why am I doing this beautiful and amazing culture and dance style a disservice by trying to do it and doing it wrong? So, you know, if we want to talk, go back to the whole strategy situation of, if you don't feel like you have that skill, use your resources, find the resources. There's so much value in your own community, even if it's not, like, I'm in Nashville, even if it's not Davidson County, I might have to go to Williamson County to get something. But it, your state itself has so much value, so many resources, probably in your community, like direct community alone. Another example for me is, I didn't know that we had this community organization called Step Africa right here in Nashville. I had no idea.
Have YouTube. You gave us that resource, right? So we have YouTube. And now you're saying that we need to look in our own communities to see what organizations or even individuals
might
be a resource to help us integrate the arts. Let's give them one more. I love the number three for some reason. I love giving three different things for them. So we've got YouTube, we've got community resources. Do you have one more place, resource we could go to?
Your students' families. That's the easiest one. Your students' families. A situation happened with a colleague of mine. She teaches music, and she was teaching the students how to play the djembe, which is the African drum. And one of her students was like, "That's not correct." And the student named it. She was like, that's not how you do that particular beat. I'm assuming, I wasn't in there, it was just heard from a conversation. And so she was like, well, tell me more. And the child, of course, showed the teacher in the class how to do it. So your students too. But in conversation, she found out that the dad was a master drummer. So she had dad to come in and do a class with her students for a whole day. And of course, it was free of charge. Not to say, like, we need to pay people their worth. But dad was so excited just to be included and to be seen and to have his culture celebrated that he was like, oh, I'll come in and teach the kids. Like, our parents have hidden talents.
Yes, they do.
Who probably hadn't had a chance to actually tap into, because life be lifing and adulting sometimes is ghetto. And we don't get a chance to do things that bring us joy. So let the parents come on in and do the thing.
It's that cycle, right? Yeah. Because when you think about what we're doing to children now, when we stifle their creativity, when we don't allow you to show your creativity at school where you are most of your day, it gets stifled. And then you only let it out when you have free time at home. Exactly. And that's only if you are not running from one activity to the other, which is typically a sports activity, right?
Yeah.
So then you turn into adults who get caught up in the busyness of life, and you still don't get to release that creativity.
And you probably forgot about it.
That it was still there. It is still there, but you just don't have the time. Or now you don't know how to release it.
Exactly. And I just can only imagine how cup filling that was for him. One, to be in front of your child continuing, you know, to share this beautiful legacy. But to share this beautiful gift, talent, legacy, heritage, like, it's so many things that the father was expressing and sharing in that moment with other students who probably never will experience that ever again. Was just like, when she told me the story, I was just in awe. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad your babies had that experience. And it made me tap into, like, my families of, I've had a parent of mine to come and teach African dance because that's something she loved to do growing up. So I'm like, girl, you got these steps, because my hip hurt and I can't get low like that no more. Thank you for coming in and teaching these babies. And she was so excited to do it for an hour. And it was her son's class. So he was a little embarrassed, but it worked.
It did. It worked because I guarantee you those children loved it.
They loved it.
Absolutely loved it.
Fifth grader. So he was like, no.
But you know, those are the experiences they look back on. Yeah. And when you're an adult, it hits totally different.
It does.
Like, be embarrassed for right now. But I promise you, when you get older, you're going to love every second
of it. Exactly.
Before we wrap up today, for all of our teachers who are just beginning their journey, whether they are a new teacher who has come out of a traditional college program, maybe they're what I call a career changer, you have found your passion for education like me later in life after you've gone through a couple of other fields, What is one piece of advice that you would offer to encourage them to embrace the arts in their teaching practice?
I got you. First point of advice, which I kind of mentioned before, is put a creative practice in your own personal practice just to fill your cup. Start there. You won't know what is going to inspire you to bring it to the classroom until you get to know you. So definitely do that. And again, it's just fun. It's just fun. So many things will be revealed. And then try new things inside of your classroom. Be confident enough to just try something new. One thing. You don't have to do all the strategies that I've shared with you today. You don't have to do all that. If you are good at cultivating collaborative experiences with your community people, use your extrovertedness to your advantage and bring people in, right? Like, if that's your thing, if you are great at writing music, bring that in. So, but in order for you to do that, you have to know what fosters your creativity, what brings you joy, you know, in your creative journey. Start with yourself first and then bring some in the classroom.
I just love that. Like I said earlier, we just wrapped up a series on mental health awareness. And when I think about that and I couple that with the advice that you just gave, art is healing. Art is therapy. And so if you find something that brings you joy, even if it's something that you start off with as simple, right? So as you are listening to this podcast, you are doodling. Like, I literally have a little book, right? And I bought some really cute, like, color pencils. And so I will sit there and I'll doodle. I'll color in this little book sometimes during a PD session. Not that I'm not focused and thinking.
It helps you think.
It helps to focus my brain and slow it down. Because when you're in PD, you're thinking about all the things you need to have done. And so for me, when I doodle or when I draw or when I color something in, it just allows me to slow my brain down, to focus on what's being said. Mm-hmm. And then I can always pause and switch over and take those real quick notes on things that stuck out to me, right? Yeah. And so it's very healing. It's very calming for me. And so art is a way not only to help your students, but then to help yourself.
Yes, yes. And I'm the same way. I'll doodle and journal and things like that. And I push that not just because of, like, to get you started your own arts integration journey, but more so, as I mentioned before, when you step into that building, ultimately, like, you still have to take care of yourself. Not saying don't take care of yourself, but at that moment, once you're in front of those kids, it's not about you. It's not about you in this moment. So you need your coping mechanisms. You need your support system. You need to be able to call your admin team and be like, yo, I need a moment. Because yes, you still have to take care of you. But you can't do this work well if you're not pouring into yourself. So use the arts, creativity to fill your cup, whatever that looks like for you, so that you can pour it back out to the students. Whether that's with creative strategies or just showing up that day. Well, so yes.
You know, one of the best pieces of advice that I heard is you pour into yourself first and then you allow everyone else to receive your overflow.
Yep.
And so that what you just said, like, that ties right in.
Yep. Give people what's falling on the saucer. You can't give them what's in the cup.
That's right. That's right. I wish I would have learned that yet when I was younger.
Yeah, me too.
I do. That was a great lesson learned, but definitely a lesson that has been learned later in life.
Same.
But, you know, experiences will do that to you.
Mm-hmm. So y'all first year teachers, keep doing your thing. Keep doing your thing. Keep showing up. Keep pouring into your own cup. Keep being creative. And creativity looks so different. If you like writing lessons, that's a form of creativity. Like, it looks different. So keep doing you and be unafraid and unapologetic about how you show up in your spaces in front of these babies, because they're looking to you to be the great humans that they are and that they're growing to be. Show up, booze.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, for sharing your insights and your passion for arts integration. The work that you are doing with Cultivated Connections is something that is really inspiring, because it's something that adults and students need. I think your guidance today for new teachers has been, I mean, just absolutely amazing. It has been absolutely on point, and it is very timely. This is something that we as educators, new educators and veteran educators, can continue to come back to. Like, sometimes we need that little pick-me-up. And so this is one of those podcasts that you can always come back to help remind you of why you do what you do and to give you that little oomph sometimes that you need to get you over those rough days. Mm-hmm. To all of our listeners, remember that bringing the arts into the classroom doesn't mean that you have to be perfect at what you're doing. You just need a willingness to explore and try something new. Try something that will at the end of the day help to uplift and inspire your students. If you found this episode helpful, I want you to download it. I want you to share it with a teacher friend or a colleague or a building leader. Our district leaders need some love too. We cannot leave them out. So share the podcast with anybody you think this will be beneficial for. Remember, you're not just surviving. You are thriving with a purpose. Until next time.